really is great to be here with you tonight, and I love that word, God's fighting for inheritances. I want to preach about how you can fight for your inheritance tonight, actually. And it's amazing how when you're preaching, you can always shape things towards, it can work, you can make it work. But really, that's what this text is about. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, if you wouldn't mind going there. If you've got your Bibles, turn them on and to open them, or whatever version you've got of them. And this text is at the end of Ephesians, and you'll see there, if you're at verse 10, it says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." We're going to read the text now. But that word "finally," this is just to contextualize it, could mean henceforward or going forward from here. So it's kind of, it's not like the final thing that he's saying. He's saying, I've said all these amazing things in this book of Ephesians. I've told you that you're seated at the right hand of Christ. You're seated with all spiritual authority. I've reconciled everything in heaven and on earth in Christ, and it's yours. And actually, resurrection, I pray that you receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray that God would put you together across Jew and Greek and man and woman, and God's going to create this one new humanity together as they find him. And he talks about the church, and he talks about relationships and how you're going to build relationships, and you got to speak the truth in love, and you got to make sure that you're speaking things that build people up, not pull them down. And he talks all about this stuff. He talks about marriage and parenting and the marketplace. And then he says, going forward from here now, this is unbelievably important, because you can have all of this and you can know all of this but not walk in it. And he's saying, going forward from here now, I want you to understand some things. This is absolutely key. That's kind of, it's this crescendo that he's kind of warming up to. And he says this, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God." Listen to that, the full armor of God. It's not the armor of God. He specifically says, the ESV says, the whole armor of God, the full armor of God, all of it. "So that when the day come of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." It's amazing that the Spirit has got a weapon. The Spirit of God, the third person in the Trinity, has got a weapon, and he fights with what he speaks to you with. And he allows you to fight with that. He carries on, he says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." This is a well-known text, and if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you will have kind of come across this. If you don't know it, this is an incredibly important text, because it tells us, first of all, that actually our enemy is not flesh and blood, that there's a spiritual realm that is against you, that when you step into Christ, you step into the love and the goodness and the kindness and the generosity of God, but there are other forces at work that don't want you to live in that place. And there are schemes against you that are going to thwart or try to thwart the plans of God for your life. And so it's making you aware that actually when you're fighting somebody, that actually there's a greater power behind that. So when you think of apartheid over the years in South Africa, apartheid was put in place by human beings, but behind apartheid were powers and authorities and principalities that if the church was not praying, I don't believe apartheid would ever have come down. Because you can work down here, but unless you're praying, unless you find yourself seated in that heavenly realm where you have authority, you can never get hold of this enemy that's coming against you and stand. And it says you've got to stand. And once you've done everything, to stand. So we start to understand this thing, that actually there's this other, these forces and these powers that are against us. I'm not really wanting to talk about that tonight. But what he goes on to say is there's three parts, there's three things that you've got to get right. First of all, he says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Then he talks about armor, and then he talks about prayer. And often when I've read this text, Martin Lloyd-Jones showed me this, that I was wrong in the way I read it in his commentary. I've often read this as the prayer is part of the armor of God. But actually the armor of God is a Roman soldier, and he kind of clothes this Roman soldier with a belt and a breastplate and all these bits and pieces, shoes, a shield and a sword and a helmet. And so actually he dresses this Roman soldier. So prayer isn't one of those parts of those dressings. Prayer is a separate part. And in fact, in the New American Standard and the more literal translations, it doesn't do what the NIV does and kind of comma carries on. It actually says full stop, and it kind of does another paragraph and kind of lays it out. So there's these three things. There's strengthen yourself, understand the armor of God, and understand the power of praying in the Spirit. So the first one is this, strengthen yourself. He says this, literally that could be said, of strengthen yourselves in the Lord. So David had to, he was a king that was in a desperate place. And the Bible says he went and he found God and he strengthened himself. So we've got to have an ability, if we want to live in the inheritance that God has for us, to find God in dark places, to strengthen ourselves in God, and to find God, find wells in God so that we can find strength in God. But there's a second part to that. He says, strengthen your Lord, the Lord, and in his mighty power. Strengthen yourself in his mighty power. That's a different, slightly different meaning. And what that means is it's like my arm has got some strength in it. Not as much as Clint's. Well, not many have got as much strength as Clint, but I've got some. And so to be strengthened in his mighty power, so when I pick this mic stand up, I activate the strength of my arm, and actually the mighty power starts to get activated. So what the picture is here is God has got this strengthen yourself in him, but then there's also this mighty power of God that only gets activated when you step into what he's asking you to do. So he's saying strengthen yourself in God, and then start to access the reserve power of God. There's this reserve that God has got, the strength that God has got, and that when you step into him and you start to put pressure and you start to make a draw on him, you actually find the mighty power of God. Amazing, hey? So that's the first thing, is strengthen yourself in the Lord and in his mighty power. I'm gonna come back to the armor because I feel like God wants to minister to some people around the armor. And then he talks about praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. And what he says there, he says, pray at all times. Pray with prayer and supplication. Pray with all types of prayer. And then he says, pray with all perseverance. And then he says, pray for all the saints. So there's this allness to our prayer life that Paul wants the believers, if we to step into everything that Ephesians talks about in the first five chapters, if we were to step into that, we've got to have a prayer life at all times, with all kinds of prayer, all types of prayer, with all perseverance, don't give up, and for all people. And I think if I have to look at my prayer life over the years, if I'm honest, I pray some of the times with some prayers, with some degree of perseverance, and for some of God's people. But actually, God wants us to pray all of the time, so have a lifestyle of prayer where you're constantly praying, and actually with all kinds of prayer. So all kinds of prayer means sometimes you're just quiet and listening. Sometimes you're declaring. Sometimes it's public, sometimes it's private. But all kinds of prayer, there's different ways of being with God and praying and having this wonderful relationship with God. And he says, I want you to exercise all kinds of prayer, all types of prayer. Don't be limited to one and don't think one's more holy than the other. Exercise this relationship with God as he leads you and as he walks with you. And then don't give up. Keep persevering. Don't give up with prayer. It's like that swimmer that was swimming the English Channel. I can't remember her name now. And she got to the stage, she was absolutely exhausted, couldn't see the other side. And she said, "No, I'm done." And she got in the boat, and as she got in the boat, they hit the shore. And so what we want to do is we don't want to leave it short. We don't want to leave anything on the table in prayer. We want to, with all perseverance, we want to step into God, trust God. And he's urging us to pray all the time and persevering, moving forward. Don't give up. And then he says, I want you to pray for all the people. Not just your friends. Pray for everybody. The Bible specifically instructs us to pray for those in authority. Paul asked for prayer here that he might preach boldly. How many of us are praying for Rory that he might preach boldly? Whoever's preaching. Friends, the preaching of the word of God without prayer is ineffective and doesn't change anything. That's both by the preacher praying, but also by the people saying, God, please give them the words. Don't let them lose courage. Let them say what needs to be said. He says, pray for all the saints. Pray for everybody. And then I love this thing. He says, pray in the spirit, which means you don't pray through ritual. You pray through relationship. So praying in the spirit, I don't know if any of you have experienced this before, but there are moments when prayer is absolutely difficult and it's like walking through mud. It's like, ugh, and you just got to persevere. But there's moments when you find the spirit. And what happens is that it kind of an hour of prayer feels like 5 minutes. Sometimes you experience that in worship. I believe that's something of what he's getting at you. He's saying praying in the spirit. He's saying get into God. Pray yourself into prayer. He's saying this is where the gift of tongues is so useful, where we can help to edify ourselves and we can start to find God and we can build ourselves up in this holy faith of ours and we can start to pray and we start to pray in the spirit with God, directing us, with the Holy Spirit directing it, the Holy Spirit empowering it, the Holy Spirit giving us the words, showing us what to pray. So it's not like, well, I've spent my 10 minutes and I've done my thing now for the day. No, this is a relational. So he's praying in the spirit. Pray like you're in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, which we are. So it's very powerful. So strengthen yourself in God. Make sure that you've got a prayer life. Make sure that you've got a prayer life. If you want an inheritance, friends, and it's not about performance if I pray, then God must respond. It's about a relationship with God, and you so trust God and you so believe what he says that you can begin to declare and you can begin to pray into the very thing that he says. So it's actually a faith thing. It's not a performance thing. So he's saying strengthen yourself, activate, access the reserve strength of God by stepping into what he wants you to do. And he's saying pray. I want you to pray with all kinds of prayers, at all the times for all the people, and don't give up. That's the second thing, prayer. But then he starts to talk about this thing called armor. And if you have a look at what the armor is, and the reason why, just to back up, the reason why you've got armor is that you've got to take your stand against the evil schemes of the enemy. So what you'd see in the armor, if you kind of reverse engineer it, what happens is you can start to see what the schemes will be. Because if you see the defense, then you know what the attack is going to be. So the attack is going to be to undermine truth. Undermine truth. Not only truth as the word of God, but truth as you being a person of truth and integrity. So he's saying you've got to put the belt of truth. And the belt was that which went before you even put the armor of the Roman soldier on. You would gather all his cloaks and all his things and put the belt on, would gather everything, and then you'd start to put the armor on. And so you start to see actually the schemes of the devil is to bring lies instead of truth. The schemes of the devil is to rob you of your righteousness in Christ. For you to believe that actually you're not good enough to be with God. For you to believe that actually what Jesus did on the cross was not sufficient for you to have relationship with Jesus, with God. And so he'll try to rob you of your righteousness. He'll try to rob you of your right standing with God. These are the schemes of the enemy. The third one there is it talks about the readiness that comes from the shoes that you fitted. Your shoes are the readiness which comes from the gospel of peace. One of the great attacks of the enemy is to rob you of your readiness, is to make us passive and apathetic, is to make us set us onto the back foot. Instead of us being a people that when we're born, we're so alive, we're on the front foot. God, what do you want us to do? Where do you want us to go? Instead, what happens is we get on the back foot. We end up tired. We end up in the wrong places with the wrong people. And we end up doing the wrong things just because we're on the back foot. But actually, he says, I want you ready. This gospel of peace comes and makes you ready. So you start to understand the schemes of the enemy. The schemes of the enemy is to put fear in your heart instead of faith. The schemes of the enemy is to rob you of your helmet of hope. Thessalonians talks about the hope that comes from the helmet of salvation. So actually what the enemy wants to do is to rob you of your hope so that you become hopeless and discouraged. As soon as he gets your head down, you start going backwards. He's saying actually the schemes of the enemy, what they're going to do is he's going to start to rob you of the words that he's spoken to you, the prophetic words that he's given to you, the words that you need for this moment that he's spoken to you last week. And then he's going to say to you, but actually, was it really God? At the moment, you knew it was God because it was three people confirmed the word and all the rest. And actually, you know in your heart that was God. But 2 weeks later, when your hope is down and you're actually, was that God? So this is the schemes of the enemy. This is what he's going to try and do. And so what Paul says is he says, I'm going to armor you. I want to put some things in place. I want to give you some defense so that you can fight well. So strengthen yourself, put your armor on and pray. But the picture that I have in mind with this armor that he gives us, because you see, most of those things are actually things that Jesus gives you. Most of the armor is actually just right belief. It's right orthodoxy. It's kind of, if you understand your righteousness in Christ, it's right belief systems. So what happens is what that armor actually does, it makes you stand, but it takes you, what it does, it takes you to the top of the mountain. So what happens is your praying is on the top of the mountain. So when we are in all of those, or we clothed with that, we've actually got a vantage point. We're actually at a high place with God that actually we can begin to pray in the Spirit and begin to see long distance. We find ourselves in a good place. And what happens with us, friends, is that we slip down to the bottom of the mountain because we don't put the armor of God on and we try to fight there. When in actual fact, he wants us up the mountain. So, if you have a look there, there's two separate parts there. You'll see there, stand firm then with the belt, and a little bit in verse 16, in addition, and in some translations it says, in all circumstances. So there's stand firm, and he gives you three sets of armor, and then he says, in all circumstances, he gives you another three sets of armor. The first one is, he says, a belt of truth. The second one, he says, what's the second one? Breastplate of righteousness, and then shoes of readiness. So that's your kind of, he says, just stand. I want you to stand. I want you to get up to the top of the mountain. Those are things that God is going to put in your heart so that you can fight. And then he says, in all circumstances, I want you to have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And you know what, friends? One of the things is that we can easily let the devil in when we're not finding strength in God and we're not exerting his mighty power and we're not praying. And what we do is we let the schemes of the enemy invade us so that we instead of being on the top of the mountain, at being in high ground, any battle, the person with the high ground wins. If you've got the high ground, you win. And so what he's doing is he's giving us armor so that we've always got the high ground. And so what he's saying here is he's saying, actually, I want you to get up there and I want you to pray in the Spirit. And we like Joshua, who was fighting in the valley, and Moses was up on the mountain. And when we're praying and when we're fighting and when we're seeing and when we're praying rightly, because when we're at that place, we can see what we need to pray. Amen. Actually, what we do is we can pray accurately and we pray in the Spirit and we start to fight this battle in prayer. And we start to fight this battle from a place of high ground and strength. But you know what happens, friends? In many respects, this is what God has given us. This is what Jesus has given us. And we spend all our energy, instead of spending our energy praying, we spend all our energy not believing in the righteousness of God, not believing in truth, and not being ready. And so we start to fight this battle at the bottom of the mountain. So there's some people sitting here tonight that need to get up the mountain to high ground again. Because you're getting weary and you're getting tired and you know this stuff maybe, but you're not applying it to your life. And maybe the reason why you're not applying it to life is because your communal living is not like it should be. Your small groups and your prayer meetings and your friends, those are not just meetings for the sake of having meetings. Those are discipleship vehicles to may help us follow Jesus. So some of you actually, some have slipped down to the mountain and you're fighting from the wrong place. But friends, you know this, if you have a look at the movies, when you have these kind of gladiator guys, they have the breastplate on, they have the belt on, they have their shoes on, then they have their shield. And you see those ones in Sparta and all these, they got those round wooden shields, kind of those round shields, and they've got their helmet on and they've got their sword. So that's the full battle armament. But what happens is as soon as you stop fighting, what you do is you take your helmet off, you put your sword down and you put your shield down. You still got the breastplate of righteousness, your shoes are still on and your belt is still on, but you've stopped advancing. You stop fighting for whatever reason. You put the hope off. You put the sword down. You put the shield down. And you're walking around with half the armor on. That's why it says the full armor of God. And so you're kind of halfway up this mountain and you've gone passive. And I feel like God tonight wants to take some people and put them back to the top of the mountain. God wants to take, because actually there's an inheritance for you to fight for. And God wants to take you to the top of the mountain and say, now my boy, my girl, put the belt on. Live with the belt on. Put the breastplate on. Put your shoes on. Get ready for what I'm going to do with you. Pick up again. So there's some people that have just slipped down. They need to get back up. But there's some people that have been walking with God for a while. Some of you have been walking with God for a long time and you know about righteousness and you know about the gospel of peace with shoes and you know about the belt and you know about all these things. And what you've done is you just put the other things down. You said, you know what? That's enough. That's enough. I don't need that. And you have half the armor on. Friends, when you start to do that, in the kingdom of God, if you're not moving forward, you're going backwards. And if you're a single person and you've only got half the armor on, it's a matter of time before the enemy is going to come and he's going to lure you and rob you of your sexual purity. And he's going to take your eyes off of Jesus and you're going to get into the wrong relationship. And if you're married, you're going to live in a mediocre marriage. Friends, mediocrity is the curse of our age. And it's so easy to become mediocre. And the reason why we become mediocre is we put the sword down, we stop hearing, wanting to know what God is saying about our situation. So when we get into a relationship, we don't ask God, God, is this one for me? Because you just put the sword down. Or maybe you're in a situation where your hope is off. You just think, you know what? I've done this for years. It doesn't work. And you take your helmet off and you put it down and you think, well, that's it, done. Or maybe the enemy has robbed you and you've put your faith down. Now you live in this anxiety and should you or shouldn't you? You know what God wants to do tonight, friends? He wants to put some people back to the top of the mountain so that you can see. And he wants some of you to also pick up the sword again, pick up the shield again, put your helmet on and begin to take the place that he's given you to take. You see, this is how we fight for our inheritance. Get strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You know that the power of God is unlimited, friends. When you start to put a draw on the power of God, it comes. When we start to develop a prayer life where we start to intentionally say, God, teach me to pray without ceasing. Teach me to have a prayer life that is continual. For all people at all times without giving up. Prayer. If you want to fight for your inheritance, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Develop a prayer life that is what Paul starts to talk about here. And armor yourself well so that you can be ready for the fight and you can stand against the schemes of the enemy. two groups of people tonight. Some of you have slipped down the mountain. And you're trying to fight your battles from a wrong place. Some of you are on top of the mountain. You kind of have lived there for a long time. But what you're doing on top of the mountain is you built a house for yourself. You built a mansion. You built something. You got comfortable on top of the mountain. Because on top of the mountain, you put your sword down, you've taken your hat off, and you put your shield down. You think, well, God, I'm going to heaven. Some people God wants to take up the mountain, and some people God on the top of that mountain wants to re-engage you so that you can begin to fight forward for what he has for you. Because every single person we spoke about this morning has got good works prepared for them in advance. And we walk into those things by being strong in the Lord, by having a prayer life, and by being correctly armored by God. Tonight God wants to minister to some people. In Jesus' name.